That was cool. You don't have to follow that, but I do. And so may God continue to bless Safe Harbor Homes and all those who are touched by that ministry. My name is Glenn Davis. I am not the pastor. If you're first time here, we welcome you back. Next week when Pastor Greg is back in the pulpit, you will be blessed. To those of us joining online, so glad to have you with us. This morning, we're going to talk about the joy of Christmas. So we're going through the themes of Advent these last several weeks, and today we come to the theme of joy. And this is actually a complicated one for some people, because Christmas, for most people, is a time of great joy. The chance to get back together with family, the traditions that can avail, the foods that you only get to eat once a year, just deliciousness and joy is a story for so many of us, but not all. Many of us have had seasons in our life where Christmas was not a time of joy, and some people, that's been the majority or the entirety of their life. Because family is so painful, and the thought of all the joy that others are having makes your lack of joy all the more frustrating. Today I want to talk about how Christmas can bring joy to us regardless of our circumstances. I hope that you find great joy in your family, that you find great joy in your food, you have great joy in the Christmas carols. But even if all those things are stripped away from you, there is still joy in the miracle of Christmas itself. And to see this, we're going to start in the middle of nowhere. So there's this story in the Bible, Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, about some shepherds. It's one of the famous Christmas stories. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." This is an interesting scene to actually try to envision. Sometimes people ask me, Glenn, how do you approach the Bible? And one of the keys for me is I try to actually envision the scenes. I try to live them out like they really were happening to me or to someone that I know. And really think, and this is a wild scene. So it says these shepherds lived in the fields. Like this was not just their job. This was like the housing benefits was, hey, take a blanket out with you. Sheep can keep you warm at night. Like these were not people at the top of the socioeconomic food chain. Like envision people with a blanket, living out there and exposed to the elements. When it rained, they got wet. When it was cold, they got chilly. Maybe they used the sheep as pillows. I don't know. But there was a lot of hardship in their lives. They were not living wildly successful lives in the ancient Near East. And probably they had a great mixture of joy and frustration in their lives. We've all known people like this. Some of us are people like this, or at one point in our lives, you're sort of in a menial position. You're in a marginalized situation, working an unglamorous job and finding the best time you can in the middle of it. So you're a fast food worker and, you know, you're cracking jokes with your colleagues, or, you know, you're a janitor somewhere, or you're working outdoors in some way in the hot desert sun or something. You know, it's not a great situation, and you're making the best of it that you can. There's hard times, and you find the joy that you can in it, because there's always perks. If you're a shepherd living in the field, guess what? You get to see the sunrise every morning, and it's beautiful. Sheep are sometimes funny. You get to laugh at them. Sometimes your fellow shepherds step in the sheep poop. That's funny. You get to laugh at them. There's joy to be had, and then there's frustrations. And then in the middle of this life, this monotonous day after day, night after night life, in the middle of one night, someone glowing shows up. An angel appears. How'd they know it was an angel? 'Cause he was glowing. Now, I want to pause for just a moment here. I don't want to make it clear, especially to some of the younger people who get your knowledge from memes. The angel actually looked like a person. There's all these memes about biblically accurate angels. Okay, that's taking like a few random verses from the Bible and saying this. No, in general, angels look like people. If it doesn't say otherwise, you should assume it's just a regular dude who glows. And that's what's happening here. This, and that would impress us. Like if I was out like hiking in the Santa Cruz Mountains in the night and some guy started glowing, he would have my undivided attention. But there's an even bigger gap than we realize between us now and these shepherds back in the first century. They had never seen artificial light, ever. Like, if there's light, it's either daytime or something's burning. That's the sum total of light. And that we've seen CGI in movies. You know, you can imagine like all these special effects. This is novel to them. They're just sitting there, minding their own business, watching the sheep, and then like glory is radiating through the air. And so it says, they were terrified. That makes sense to me. But the angel said to them, verse 10, do not be afraid. Nearly always the first thing that angels say because they are terrifying. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. The angel says, I bring you good news that will cause great joy, our theme this morning, for all people. And then he says four things. The great news I'm bringing you that will cause great joy for all people. A Savior has been born in the town of David. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. And that news, the revelation that this baby has been born, should bring great joy to all people. Which people? People in China, people in South America, people in Rome, even people living out in a field surrounded by sheep. All people should feel great joy, regardless of their circumstances. Throughout the New Testament, joy and not joyful circumstances are intermixed. I'm going to give you just a couple of quick examples. These are not in your notes. I can give them to you later. You can round down real fast if you want. But in 1 Thessalonians 1:6, Paul says to them, you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Suffering was there. Joy came in the midst of it. 2 Corinthians 6:10, Paul says he is sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. 2 Corinthians 8:2, Paul says, in the midst of very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up. Joy in the midst of abject poverty. Acts 5:41, Luke says the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering. And James 1:2, James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. I could go on. This does not exhaust the Bible witness of joy existing, not just independent circumstances, but in the opposition to circumstances that normally would not be, you wouldn't think of these as joyful situations, abject poverty, sufferings, beatings. The Bible says joy can come in the midst of those. So whatever the angel means, when he says this news of the baby being born brings great joy to all people, he doesn't mean everyone's circumstances instantly change. Everyone wins the lottery. Everyone moves to Hawaii, you know, whatever it is. That's not his message. His message is that regardless of your circumstances, joy is accessible to you. How? What could that possibly mean? So I like to play video games. Some of you all do too. I see the youth over there. You ever play like Call of Duty, Destiny, Minecraft, some online game with other people, play Smash Brothers with your friends, Smash Bros, Smash Siblings. As you're playing these games, horrible things happen to your character. Like you're playing Destiny, someone sticks a grenade to your face and your character just blows up, gets thrown off a cliff. What are you doing? You are laughing uproariously with your friends. Why? Because I'm getting annihilated in one frame of reference. But in another frame of reference, I'm bonding with my friends. From one point of view, I'm being absolutely smacked down. From another point of view, I'm having the best night of my life. And the story of the baby in a manger reminds us that there is more than one frame of reference within which we live. A Savior's been born in the town of David. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. Getting that perspective internalized, it changes everything. He is the Messiah, the fulfillment of all God's promises to his chosen people. The Messiah has been born. He's in the town of David because he's the heir to the throne of David. The greatest king of Israel's history is coming back, the sequel, so like upgraded. He is the Savior that whatever peril we face, he can deliver us from. And he is the Lord. We finally have the thing that we've been looking for. That's, the angel says, how we have joy. That we remember that God is real, that God is love, and that he loves us, and he's at work even now in the midst of these circumstances that are not always so pleasant. Can we really believe this? Like, can we actually live this way even when things are hard? Yeah, of course we can. I'm going to give you three ways to think about why this just makes sense. First, there's just common sense. Isn't it obvious that believing there's a God who loves you and has a purpose for your life, who became a human to redeem you and underwent suffering to spare you from suffering, that if you really believe that, that would bear some good fruit in your emotions? Is that just common sense? Like, if I really believe this is the fundamental truth of the universe, I'm going to think about things different. That's just obvious. Then, not only from common sense do I see that we can live this way, experience teaches me this. I have seen this in my life, that there are times things have not been great and God has been good. And I've been tuned into God more than to my circumstances, and I felt joy that made no earthly sense. And I study people. I talk to people. I hear stories from people. And very often the people who have had the best lives are not the happiest people. And the people with some of the greatest hardships have this joy that is difficult to account for apart from a supernatural reality that supersedes the natural that I can see. So common sense tells me, of course I can have joy. Then my experience assures me, yes, I can have joy. And then also research, academic research shows that when you get this message right, yeah, joy flows out. If you ever Google for positive benefits of religion on like one of the academic, like scholar.google.com, whatever, you're going to find all kinds of stuff. Here's what one scholar at Penn concluded. Quote, "We found that the vast majority of these studies, studying about satisfaction and meaning in life related to faith, some 81% of the 99 studies reviewed reported positive association between religious involvement and greater happiness, life satisfaction, morale, positive effect, or some other measure of well-being. The vast number of studies on religion and well-being have included younger and older populations, as well as African Americans and Caucasians from various denominational affiliations. Only one study found a negative correlation between religiosity and well-being, and this study was conducted in a small, non-representative sample of college students." And what that tells me is that was a group of students at Harvard who like volunteered for the study and were angsty atheists. So yes, we can experience joy, but we don't always. That's the thing. Like, so yes, it makes sense from common sense perspective. Believing God is real and love, like that will change you. Experience shows us that and research validates it. Oh yeah, of course. And so now the dilemma is, how come I don't feel joy right now? Even though you're listening to my melodious voice. I said earlier that the key is recognizing there's more than one frame of reference. That there's more than one perspective that we can adopt on what's happening. Getting the perspective wrong will steal your joy faster than you can imagine. When you focus on the wrong things, then it causes your joy to melt like an ice cube in Arizona. So sometimes we need the big cosmic perspective, the idea that God is love, but sometimes it's just a small thing. Like almost everything that brings us frustration in life in a different context can bring us joy. So you go downstairs in the morning and you ask, "Oh man, I forgot my phone. I got to climb back up the stairs." Okay. Yes, but if you're in Yosemite, you will hike three times that distance higher with great joy in your heart. It's a matter of perspective. If you're walking alongside and your hat gets blown off, you got to run after, "Oh man, my hat." But if you're playing a game and a frisbee goes past you, you will run faster and harder and dive for that frisbee and consider the grass stains to be a badge of honor. It's perspective. It's how are we thinking about the things that are coming our way. Virtually everything that frustrates us in one context can thrill us in another. Think about things the right way. Recognize that sin is the thief of joy. It's a slick trick that sin plays. Sin promises us pleasure, and it usually will fulfill on its promise. But it offers pleasure at the expense of true satisfaction. Pleasure instead of happiness. So it says, hey, have an affair. And then it robs you of the joy of a 50-year anniversary. It says, hey, you know, just tell the lie, you know, get by. And then it robs you of this joy of knowing you're a person of integrity and having the respect of others who recognize you as a person of integrity. Those are very different things. But sin, if sin becomes your master, it will exert a tax upon you. And the tax it will demand is in part your joy. Now, I want to be clear about this. It's not bad to feel sad. I mean, it's unpleasant, so it's bad in that sense. But it's not sin. It's not wicked to feel sorrow, sad, or frustration in this world. This is a broken world. If you're a righteous person, at times, it should make you sad. Jesus said, Paul says, weep with those who weep. And then Jesus modeled for us. He wept at the tomb of Lazarus, knowing full well he's going to bring Lazarus back to life. Even then, sorrow was real. But feeling sorrow does not invalidate joy any more than being irritated with a friend invalidates your friendship. The question about joy versus something like mere pleasure is the baseline. Often think in terms of this. So what's the equilibrium point in your life? So let's say that, if you think this right here, my foot, is like the worst you've ever felt, and like as far as I can reach is the best you've ever felt. What matters when we're talking about joy, I'm not talking about like any given day you're going to go up and down, right? Like, oh, the cat pooped on my floor and that's unfortunate. And like, oh, yay, I got a phone call. Oh, I got a Christmas card from someone that I haven't seen in a while. That's awesome. And then, oh, no, I have to eat kale for lunch. And then, oh, joy, I get to have chocolate for dessert, right? Like, you go back and forth, right? You have throughout the day oscillations. The question is, where are you oscillating from? What's the equilibrium point? When you return from the distortion of joy that chocolate brings, where do you settle back to? Is it here? Is it here? Is it here? Joy is about your equilibrium point. Joy is about when the distortions of life, when the ripples settle down, what's the water level? And Christmas tells us the water level should be much higher. Much higher. Because Jesus was born. Moving on through the text, verse 12. The angel says, this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. We'll save commentary on that at length for Christmas morning. That'll be Pastor Greg's job. But for now, the thing I want you to grasp is the angel didn't just make an announcement. Feel good! He said, check it out. There's a place you can go. You can see this baby. The one I'm talking about, the one who was born to be king, he's right over there. Go check him out. This isn't an idea you need to embrace just in the abstract. It is a person you need to encounter. Because joy comes through him. Suddenly, verse 13, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. I love this so much. So first, those poor shepherds. And the sheep, what were the sheep thinking? Like if a glowing person freaks out a person, like what does a sheep think? I don't know. But then all of a sudden, like, just out of the blue, like fireworks, the angels are popping in, like I don't know, hundreds, thousands, how many there were? There was too many to count. Now, maybe shepherds can't count that high, but it's still a lot. A lot of angels. And they're all seeing, can you imagine? I mean, just actually, you're there in the field, you're terrified because a glowing man appears, like, relax, I've got great news, there's a baby. And you're like, okay, that's great. And they're, oh, wow, this is actually really promising. And then, whoosh, 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 and they start saying, glory to God in the highest heaven. And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. They never heard surround sound before. This is wild. And then, poof, they disappear. What is this song the angels sing? I noticed two parts. Well, three parts. Glory, peace, and favor. Glory to God, peace on earth, to those on whom God's favor rests. I note in my life that when God gets praise, I feel peace. Whenever I'm stressed out, whenever something's throwing me off my game, if I can praise, it actually recalibrates me very, very thoroughly. Just throw that out for you. It's not the main point of this text, but it's there. The main point of this text, I think, for us is, why the peace? Why the praise? Because God's favor is on you. Who feels the joy? All the people. Remember, China, South America, people in the field, people in Rome. Everyone feels joy because the baby was born for all. The baby was born for all, then the favor is for all. Favor is a word we don't use much. What does favor mean? God likes you. He likes you. If you have favor with me, it means I'm disposed positively towards you. Like, oh good, my friend is here. It's so good to see you again. Let me get you, would you like a Coke? Can I offer you some cookies? Like, it's good to have you around. We have favor with God. Why? Because he's that kind of guy. And that means he deserves our praise and we can receive his peace. And that should be an occasion for joy. when the angels had left them. By the way, in a room this size and with people online, at least someone here in the last week or two has wondered, is God mad at me? Or maybe you haven't wondered, God is mad at me right now. Well, I can tell you what the Bible says. God has favor for you. God likes you. God loves you. Maybe things are hard right now. I'm so sorry, and I hope that changes soon. But even if it doesn't change soon the way you want, you can have joy in the midst of this. And part of your joy can be rooted in the fact that God loves you. And that baby was born. Which leads to verse 15. When the angels had left him and gone into heaven, I don't know if they disappeared, it's sort of like also like lofted up. I don't know. It's kind of interesting to think about. The shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. To me, this is the pivotal moment in the story. Because they've heard this message. A baby has been born. A savior, the Messiah, in the city of David, the Lord awaits you. You'll find him wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And this news will be the source of great joy for all people. And peace be upon you, on whom God's favor rests. Whoosh! And then they're back to the field. And there's sheep bleeding. And there's a smell of poop in the air. And it's probably chilly. And they're just back to life. And they have a choice to make. Will they go and see or not? Because not everyone made that choice. Later on, when the wise men come and they tell Herod, hey, we've heard the king has been born. And Herod's like, okay, go check it out. I'm gonna stay here. He didn't go see. The religious scholars who told the Magi where to go, oh yeah, it should be in Bethlehem. They didn't walk 6 miles to Bethlehem. They didn't, 6 miles, something like that. I forget, I didn't look it up before I came this morning, but it's close. It's a short trip, not hard to make. But the shepherds, let's go see. Let's go find out for ourselves. Let's go and meet this child who is the Messiah, the Lord. And let us see what happens in our lives. This morning, Abundant Life, I hope, as I said at the beginning, that everything about Christmas brings you joy. That it's great to be with the family, that singing of the carols just brings a tear to your eyes, that the food is delicious and all things are well. You're getting news of promotions at work. All that is my hope for you. It's not true for all of us, not all the time. And even in the best of our lives, there's rough patches. And there's parts that we wish were different. Go to Bethlehem. Go to the manger. Gaze upon the face of Jesus. Now, obviously, I don't mean this literally. I don't mean get a plane ticket, fly to the Middle East. What I mean is, as the shepherds peered into the manger, peer into the Christmas story, reflect upon it. Whenever a carol comes on the radio, think about the story. Whenever you begin to look upon a nativity, think about the story. Whenever you just see a decoration, think about why is that here? Like why is there a ball hanging from a tree? Because there was a baby born in a manger thousands of years ago, thousands of miles away. And that news is a source of great joy for all people. And I'm a people, which means it's joy for me. And that means that my frame of reference is not merely the thing that I'm going through right now. My frame of reference is I'm going through this in the context of a greater story. God, I want you to change this bad thing. Please do. But Lord, whether you do or not, I can still have joy in the midst of it. Because joy and challenge, joy and sorrow, joy and frustration, joy and lack of perfection are not antithetical to one another. Joy can blossom in the midst of the worst situations. And that's one of the messages of Christmas. I'm going to pray. Then we're going to close with some prayer time. People come and do some soaking, I think we call it. Do we have a name for this?
The dwelling?
The dwelling. That sounds like a hip church.
Let's call it abiding today.
So I'm going to pray. And one thing I'm going to pray, if you're here today and you've not yet recognized this baby as Messiah, as Lord, what a great way to enter into Christmas. Place your faith in Jesus, for he is worthy. You know enough. You know enough. And so I pray that you receive the peace that comes with God's favor this morning. I'll give you a chance to do that in prayer. For the rest of us, I'll just pray more generally about joy. Lord, we come knowing this is a hard world. It's a broken world. And sin abounds. And it touches us all. God, I pray for joy in the midst of all that. God, I pray for you to bring deliverance, to bring healing, to bring change into bad situations, bring provision, God, the things that we need. But God, even above that, I pray for your joy in the midst of complications, in the midst of disappointment, in the midst of all that we see happening around us when we turn on the news. Lord, I pray for your joy to abound in my heart and the heart of everyone who hears this message. God, I pray especially for any here this morning whose faith is not yet in Jesus. They were not believers when they walked in. But they want to experience your favor. They want to see the miracle this baby can bring. If that's you, I invite you to pray a prayer like this. We'll do it this way. Actually, we don't do this very often, I don't think. But I'm going to pray a clause out loud. I invite everyone here. Pray it out loud after me. If you're already a believer, just reinforce your faith. If you're new, pray this with faith. And this is a way that you can connect with God. Dear God, I need you. Oh, come on. Say it like you actually need him. Dear God, I need you. Lord, I want your joy. I want your peace. And I know the answer is found in Jesus. In that baby who was born. He was born to be my Savior. Born to be my Lord. And I receive him as such. With your help, Lord, I will follow. So Lord, give me your peace. Give me your joy. And make this the merriest Christmas ever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that and you meant it, please talk to me or one of the people here who's on staff before you leave so we can give you some foundations to help you begin to lay a solid, solid trajectory so that this Christmas will not be it will be the worst of your Christmas to come, because it'll get better and better and better and better and better as you walk and progress with the Lord. So now, if the elders would come forward, if you need prayer for anything in your life, we want to make that available to you. And we're going to take some time just to pray and to soak. We know some of you have to leave. If you have to bounce, we understand. Pray you have a wonderful, wonderful remainder of your day and a good weekend. And if you have some time, spend it with the Lord. You'll be glad you did. Thank you.
You're the way, the truth and the light. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and you are the vine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Be my strength, my song in the night. Be my all, treasure my prize. I am yours forever, you're mine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Won't you teach me? Here I am, Lord. Won't you teach me? To receive joy and peace. Love. Forgiveness. Receive joy and peace. Love and forgiveness. Thank you, Father. Right now, even in this moment, we can choose to receive your joy. To make this our Bethlehem. We go and see you, the giver of life. You are the peacemaker. You are love. You are life. I pray that we would receive from you. And we would choose to live in your joy today. God, that you would bring to our eyes the areas in our life where we're believing a lie and we're allowing doubt and fear and worry and guilt and shame to reign. Help us, Lord, right now to confess to you, to speak truth to you. These are areas in my life that I need to give over to you, God. They're not from you. Forgive me, Lord, for allowing myself to live a lie. Help me to receive all that you have that I can go today. In the peace and the joy that you bring, that you reign forevermore. May you be glorified, God, as we go today. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.